activism begins with ACT. The Rush Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Activist Agenda, 32 after the hour. Radical Russ here, and we are on the line with Norman from weedblacklist.com. Norman, are you hearing me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. How about yourself? Can you hear me?
Yep, you're doing great. This is I thank you for doing this. I haven't done a Google Hangout connection in a while, and it looks like it's going to work just fine. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
So, Norman, tell us about the organization you're with, weedblacklist.com. When were you formed, and what is your mission?
I think it's like just a year now as of this month, and I made it as a public version of a tool that I made for myself. I was being taken advantage of by every delivery dispensary on Weed Maps because I was misled by their, you know, fake reviews. So I made a tool that allowed me to detect which were fake based on IP address detection. And that's what Weed Blacklist is, just a public version of that, and it's scaled.
Wow. Okay. So this was the big controversy that we heard about last week, where your tool here has discovered, what was it, like 70% of the reviews? Could you tell us more about what you found?
Yeah, it looks as if at least 70% of the dispensaries out of the 600 batch tests we ran of the top 300 deliveries and 300 top dispensaries, 70% of those have at least one set of fake reviews. And I think it's 10% have at least 100 confirmed fake reviews.
And are these all, do you all sense these coming from one particular source or a few different sources?
A lot of them are coming from, you know, the patterns show as of recently, the new models I created this week, they show that about half of them are being created by friends of the dispensary or dispensary owners themselves, meaning there's lots of IP addresses. And there's some new data that I can't really talk about right now. I'm still working on the models, but there might be some other evidence that shows other people doing it. So, you know, we might have another interview about that later, but
yeah,
right now I can just confirm that it's happening by lots of people.
Okay. So this, of course, made a big splash in the marijuana industry because a lot of people, a lot of these dispensaries rely on Weed Maps, and a lot of people rely on Weed Maps to find information about this. For someone who's just, you know, who hasn't got this tool and is just looking at any website for that matter, what are some of the signs that tell you that this is a fake?
Well, on Weed Maps, for example, a lot of the reviews are duplicates, meaning you can see it's someone posted the same title and body, you know, hundreds of times. And so when you have the IP address detection mixed in with that, it ends up pulling, you know, greater counts. So that's how someone could see it themselves. But, you know, really, it's also about the usernames. People who are doing these reviews don't spend a lot of time on their username formats. You know, it'll be, you know, a name and a couple of random numbers. So, you know, that's how I discovered it manually. And after further investigation, I found the IP address vulnerability. So that's I decided to do something with that.
Now, has anyone from Weed Maps been in contact with you?
What was that?
Has anyone from Weed Maps been in contact with you about this?
You know, I actually tried to bring the idea to Weed Maps about a month ago, and I tried to offer it to them as with a business model. And so I tried to sell them a service that would filter their reviews to better their market.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of profit potential in that. So I went and sat down and had a meeting with Doug Francis and a couple guys with his team. And it was a great meeting. It went well. But yeah, they didn't seem to be interested in it.
Well, I hate to have to make you speculate, but not interested because they couldn't afford it, or not interested because they really didn't want to get rid of fake reviews?
Well, I think they could afford it. It would have made them millions. I mean, year one, it would have made millions. So I don't think they understood it. I really don't know. I mean, like you said, it's speculating. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But I did that meeting and I followed up with a couple phone calls trying to get an answer and didn't get one.
Okay. Now, are you looking at applying this to any other marijuana-related sites as a consumer interest?
Well, you know, I have a big idea in mind. You know, Weed Blacklist, the big idea for it before it was going to be a listing service was I was actually going to be like a centerpiece. So all the listing services, I would validate their data, you know, kind of like Carfax or something like that.
Sure.
You know, Kelley Blue Book. And so, yes, that, you know, I did consider that. And, you know, Weed Maps was going to be the first client, hopefully.
And so if you can't get them to go along with this, is this possibly going to evolve into your own sort of listing service that with
yes,
verifiable
I've
reviews?
Made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that going? Right, is it tough raising the capital for that? Where are you at right now?
Well, I don't need capital for that. I've got what I need. And, you know, I'm a coder myself and I've got a couple other people working with me as far as infrastructure. So, you know, we're just doing it.
Good.
We don't need investors. We need nothing. It's we just hustle hard. That's pretty much how it goes. No sleep, you know, endless hours at night.
So had you come from an IT background? Has marijuana been your background? How do they fit together for you?
Yeah, I became a patient when I was 15 and I started coding around the same time. And I became very interested in network automation. And so I've been using those tools to, you know, those skills to, I guess, pursue, you know, entrepreneur ideas and, you know, projects.
Is this problem, you know, I don't know what to call it, review stuffing, what we'll call it, faking. Is this a problem that's endemic to the marijuana industry, or is it something you're finding in other industries as well with fake reviews?
No, it's definitely not, you know, it's definitely not, I guess, unique with this industry. It's in a lot of industries, but with this specific industry, because it's smaller, it's kind of a niche right now, at least in my perspective. You know, a lot of people are faking reviews to get search engine optimization on their dispensary. So that's kind of where it comes from, is the search engine optimization. Google picks up reviews.
Gotcha. So we know that we're getting some fake reviews. Do we have any evidence of there being a, you know, a coordinated system of this, of people actually, you know, paying for this, any of the dispensary owners that have been caught doing it, any farther this could go?
Yeah, you know, the data that I found this week with new models proves that they're, well, in my eyes, it proves it, but a lot of the IP addresses look to be very similar, meaning it suggests that proxies were used. And considering that proxies were most likely used to make reviews on multiple dispensaries, it makes you wonder who had the incentive to do that.
Yeah. Is anyone considering any sort of criminal complaints about this for fraud?
You know, I don't know if it goes that far, especially in this kind of, you know, marked in this kind of a gray area. But, I mean, it could be grounds for class action in some you know, some perspectives, because millions of IP addresses were exposed.
Good point on that. Now, you said you came about this project because you'd found yourself getting kind of misled on some of these reviews. Did you find anywhere, despite the fact that they were, you know, creating fake reviews, but they were actually a pretty good dispensary and didn't need to do that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the dispensaries I personally use have zero fake reviews. No duplicates, no IP address conflicts, nothing.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where the ones who are doing it right really don't need the fake reviews. If that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And so does your site, weedblacklist.com, keep a list of who's doing it right, the ones that you didn't find fakes from?
No, it doesn't. For legal reasons, I didn't think that was a good idea.
Yeah.
But that was the original intention. I had to modify that idea to be respectful to weed maps. You know, that was, yeah, I think anybody who looks at my website will see that was at least a priority.
Wow. All right. This is remarkable. And was this just you doing this on your own? Did you have any help on this?
Yeah, no, it's just me as far as development and everything. And I have an infrastructure guy who helps me with, you know, scaling servers and everything. So yeah, it's just, you know, three people right now.
Fantastic. I love these stories where, you know, some enterprising young person just has an idea and takes it to fruition. And I love what you're doing here to help us cannabis consumers out, because I read those reviews from time to time as well. And how are you supposed to know whether it's a real or a fake or who's putting that in there? So it's an amazing public service that you're doing. Are there any other projects you're considering working on in the cannabis sphere that are a little different than this at all?
Well, you know, not right now, because this is kind of right up my alley. I haven't really thought of much else, because everything, I don't want to do something that's just generic.
Yeah.
I mean, even the listing service, that seems generic, but I found a unique way to present it to the patients. So,
yeah.
You know, I like to do unique things, but, you know, this security aspect is right up my alley. So that's kind of why I'm focusing on it.
Yeah.
The scaled abuse.
Do you see any... is there any attention given to this by the politicians in California? I know they've got, you know, that Prop 64 on the ballot and legalization's coming, and they're going to have all sorts of advertising restrictions and such. Is there any political will to address this as a problem, or are they just going to kind of let it sit?
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I would just be speculating.
Yeah.
I honestly, I think a lot of people look at this as not being that big of an issue. But the, you know, the patients and the consumers and the dispensaries who are being misled, or, you know, the patients are not being treated right, I think they have the biggest concern. I don't know if there's any legal, you know, ramifications there.
Okay, so we'll have to follow up on our side. But Norman, this is an amazing story that you've brought to us, because I think this is the first time, you know, we're starting to see, you know, we had our first pesticide lawsuits, and we had our first, you know, we're getting the firsts of all these different landmark types of cases that are coming around. And the idea of getting, you know, quality data, quality reviews, being able to trust what we read when it comes to these dispensaries, especially as more and more people, as legalization happens, more newbies are going to be coming into this, more people that haven't a clue, and we don't want to start them off on the wrong foot. I really appreciate what you're doing, Norman. Tell our audience, if you can, any of the websites or contact information you'd like to get out there.
Yeah, so my website is weedblacklist.com, and my email address, or you can email support at weedblacklist.com. And right now the website, because the IP address vulnerability was patched on Weedmaps, the website currently runs reports that detect duplicate reviews. So you can see you know, ratings based on that. And that will shortly become a listing service. And it'll be the first listing service that puts the patients first and also secures the dispensaries.
That's awesome. Weedblacklist.com. So people will just be able to type in their local dispensary and it'll pull up the information you have?
Yeah, they just copy the link off Weedmaps for whatever dispensary they want, paste it in the box on the website, and they get instant data. Well, not, you know, it's not instant. It depends on the number of reviews, because the every report is fresh. But, you know, in a couple minutes, they've got data that they can use to make an educated decision.
Wow, that's great, great stuff that you're doing there. Norm, thank you so much for joining us here on the show and telling our listeners about that. And good luck with your future endeavors. I really hope this takes off for you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Russ.
Yeah, you betcha. Thank you so much. Norm from weedblacklist.com. Encourage people to check that out on the net, because like I said, we need to have some consistency here. We need to have reviews that we can trust, and there's going to be so many dispensaries and so many new recreational cannabis shops out there. It's going to be impossible for any one person to keep track of what's good, what's bad, especially as you travel. You're in a new state. You want to head somewhere and get some decent medicine, get some decent service. You want to know that when you're looking at something on Weed Maps or any of these other sites, that you can trust that it's an honest review, that it's a real consumer review. And Weed Maps and the rest of you guys out there in the industry, you really need to consider about having verifiable reviews. You know, think like Yelp or something like that. Your business model can't last very long if everyone thinks that you're defrauding them. All right, we're back with the Radical Rant right after this, explaining why medical marijuana is not legalization.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.